Hello, this is Pastor Galen from the First Nazarene Church, and welcome to our podcast. Hey, before we hear the message today, I simply want to say that no matter where you're located, we're glad you're listening today. We hope this message will inspire you, instruct you, and help you grow in your relationship with Jesus. And hey, if you live in the Chicago area, maybe this podcast would be the first step to joining us in person sometime. But you can also check out our online live services every Sunday at our website, firstnaz.cc. Hey, again, thanks for joining us. Enjoy the message.
Lord, this morning, we come to you. And after singing that song, we know that you have led us here to this place. Whether we're here in person or online, you've led us here into this moment that we gather as one congregation, one body of believers, praising your name for what you've done in our life. Lord, this week, in the upcoming weeks, maybe we've got people who are students and they're starting school. Maybe it's parents and they're sending their kids to school. Lord, I pray that during these times, at the start of this new school year, that you would bless those who are starting. Would you bless the teachers and the important role that they play in lives? And Lord, as we've gone through a week, maybe we've had a week that has just been awesome and we're praising you. We're coming in this morning and we're just shouting your name. Or maybe this week has been one of those weeks that we just barely scraped by. But Lord, I pray that we can still proclaim your name. Proclaim your faithfulness in our life. As we were talking earlier with the worship team, it's just amazing how we can look back at the faithfulness. But Lord, we want to praise you for your faithfulness right now. Amen. For what we see, for what we don't see, Lord. We know that you are moving. We know that you are leading, you are guiding. And Lord, would you continue to just speak to us through this service? Would you speak through the words of Pastor Brian and how you've laid this word on his heart? Would you have us have open and receptive hearts and ears to be receiving your word? It's all this. We give you praise. It's in your son's great and holy name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. It will be 2 weeks ago tomorrow when I had an unusual Monday. I was traveling to Alexandria, Minnesota, about 2.5 hours north of Minneapolis, and going to be part of a district assembly there. The district is North Dakota, South Dakota, and Minnesota, so that's a big district. They were coming together, and I got to play a small part in their district assembly and then speak at their family camp. So I was in a mode. I had preached here on Sunday morning and then kind of began to get my mind ready for what would be a busy week. It was also a travel day. And so if you've flown again, you know that delays are pretty common just because of how kind of spread out things are, and they're still hurting for employees and all that's going on. But there was something that began to happen Sunday afternoon after I finished the service. I began to get the news that all of you got that was heartbreaking. This was the first picture that I saw, and it stuck with me, and to this day continues to do that. These are officers who are at the scene of the shooting of Ella French, who gave the full sacrifice for us. In 2020, there were 79 Chicago police officers were shot at or shot. So far this year, 34, 11 have been shot. So like you, I watched that progress as everything just began to develop. This stuck with me just because of the looks on the faces of these policemen. And it just reminded me of how tired and how weary our first responders must be. These are people of extraordinary strength, but man, and that just began to kind of, it got in me and I couldn't get it out. And then we began to get news that after 19 years of our longest military engagement, through four presidents, 800,000 service members who had served in Afghanistan, 2,443 service members killed in action, 21,000 wounded, some of them, their entire life changed. In spite of the fact that 66,000 Afghan military and police had fought, 47,000 civilians had died. In spite of all of that, Taliban was coming back to power in Afghanistan. And there are so many things about that, aside from the transition, which of course is a significant problem, to just the reality that after 19 years, 51 nations fought in that conflict. And it just can begin to feel helpless. The day, because I was delayed, I had a tendency to stick with the news and began to see everything and hear everything that's going on from school board meetings. Remember when nobody went to school board meetings? And now we're in a time, whether it's critical race theory that's being debated, or whether it's got to do with masks, or whether it's got to do with sex education, there's just a lot of things happening. And the spirit of people is tight. And it is difficult. And I begin to think, who in the world is going to pay any attention over the next few days to what I have to say? Does it even matter? And then, as I hit Minneapolis and I was thinking about what had happened in Chicago and all of the unrest, a thought occurred to me. I was getting ready to go and speak to leaders, laity and ministers who were ministering in Minneapolis. They were planting churches. They are planting churches. Your movement is planting churches on the north side where the George Floyd death occurred. And as I landed, I thought, I'm getting ready to go talk to these people. And I had a thought, and I got my rental car, and I found out I was about 8 minutes away, and so I went. Just to have a sense of what's going on. We have people planting churches in under a mile away from Cup Foods, where everything went down. When I got down there, I parked my car, and it's very, very much still a very live scene. And probably 40 or 50 people, maybe more, were milling about in the area. There were people wailing. Whatever you may think about all of this stuff, there were folks who were wailing. It was just incredible. And that didn't help my attitude for the day. By the time I got to my room that night, I thought, man, people are hurting. The theme for the assembly that the district superintendent set was, "In This Together." And I've got to be honest with you, my interpretation of that theme leading up to it was, "In This Together." The mass, the COVID, all the stuff. And then when you just take some of those issues and then pour in between those pictures, life. Just the stuff that people are going through on a day-to-day basis, just dealing with the issues of life, it can be overwhelming. And it wasn't until the district superintendent began to speak that I realized that he wasn't talking about this. He was talking about the call of God to be sent to the world. And I thought, man, if I can get confused about what this is kind of what I do. How much more difficult is it for us as the body of Christ, followers of Jesus, to remember that this is not what we're called to? It's to be ambassadors and to be sent by Jesus into this world. Part of what helped me was I remembered a quote, and it comes from Dr. Dennis Kinlaw. And when you look at this, these situations are unlikely to be resolved by some power. They just are. And it can be overwhelming until you remember that the future of the world is ultimately determined not by the decisions of institutions or international powers, but the choices of individual people. There is that much power in you and in me. Our ability to make decisions, and we're gonna walk down that a little bit and talk about that as the reality. Remember, it wasn't Saul's army that defeated Goliath. It was David. It wasn't some kind of a movement that brought the Israelites out of bondage. It was Moses. It wasn't a committee that saved the Jews. It was Esther. Often individuals who are overlooked. It wasn't some kind of a movement that confounded or a group that confounded Nebuchadnezzar. It was Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. There is extraordinary power. It was Noah and his family that built the ark. Now, this isn't a call for us to all go be lone rangers, but it is a call for all of us to realize that the decisions that you and I are making on a daily basis are infinitely more powerful than we understand. So as I sat there that Monday night, I opened up my Bible, and I went to John 20, verses 19 through 21, which is our theme for this series. On the evening of the first day of the week, when the disciples were together with the doors locked for fear of the Jewish leaders. Now think about this moment. Jesus has risen. It's Easter evening. Some have seen him, not everyone. The disciples have gathered, but they're not all there. Judas is dead. I got to thinking about what impact. We have a tendency when we read that story just to kind of figure nobody really cared about Judas, right? I mean, after all. But these disciples not only saw their Savior crucified, and many of them haven't seen him since, they've heard stories, but they lost their friend in an extraordinary way when he died. Thomas isn't with them. He's doubting. He'll be back, but he's doubting. So there's 10 or so disciples in a room. In Jerusalem, traditionally, no one knows for absolutely sure, but this is the outside of that upper room where they had gathered. Many believe it was the same room that they had experienced the Last Supper in. No one knows for sure, but as best they can say, this is what they believe, right up in here, in that room. Everything hinges on what's about to happen in that room. Peter is in there. He hasn't written those letters yet. He hasn't walked through. The book of Acts hasn't happened. The Gospels, as we know them, have not been written. John the Beloved has a lifetime in front of him, which will take him to the Isle of Patmos, but not yet. He's locked in that room. Paul has yet to be converted. There are so many things that are waiting for them outside. Christianity hasn't been born yet. The church hasn't been born yet. And it hinges on what these disciples do behind locked doors in response to God's offer. The gospel that brings us to this moment is in that room. And so I remind you, the future of the world is ultimately determined not by Rome, not by the powers of the religious leaders of the day, but by a few people who make choices to answer the call of God. And so we go back. On the evening of that first day of the week when the disciples were together with the doors locked for fear of the Jewish leaders, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." That's a good message to deliver right there. In the midst of all the chaos, and the chaos going on outside of that room was extraordinary. It permeated the culture. You had all kinds of issues that were happening. And Jesus shows up and said, first of all, peace. After he said this, he showed them his hands and side. The disciples were overjoyed when they saw the Lord. And again, Jesus said, peace be with you. If we must be people of peace. Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, I am sending you. That's John 20:21. And with that, he breathed on them and said, receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive anyone's sins, their sins are forgiven. If you do not forgive them, they are not forgiven. Again, Jesus said, peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, I am sending you. And so when we move into this series called Sent, this is a result of prayer and discussion and planning about what God might be leading us to do. And so we announced a few weeks ago, from August 1st to December 31st, the challenge is for us as a body of believers to be united, to unite around the fact that we are sent people. That when we get up in the morning, whatever we encounter, whoever we encounter, instead of looking at people as an obstacle or a barrier or a situation or a circumstance as the same, we recognize we're sent there. We've been sent there to do several things. Number one, if we're going to be sent like Jesus, we must be filled with the Holy Spirit. Jesus spoke only what the Father said. The promise for us is that we can be filled with the Holy Spirit. We must be filled with the Holy Spirit. Jesus came seeking to serve and to sacrifice, not trying to avoid service, not trying to avoid sacrifice. But we will also be sent with a message to deliver. Now, the choice for these disciples is theirs, to accept that or to reject that. The call for the church in 2021 is to hear that truth and accept it and receive it. The message to deliver, of course, is the gospel, the good news. And we talked about how there were four statements that are gospel true and door opening that I challenge you to consider, literally saying these words to people, looking for an opportunity to speak into their lives. The words of you're valuable. You're valuable to me. You're valuable to God. And there is a way. That is not fluff, my friend. Not when you get to a point where you recognize that you're not just telling somebody that they're pretty or telling somebody, you're saying you're not only valuable, you're valuable to me. I want to put skin in your game. I want to help. I want to be a part. And if we show up with a towel and we show up ready to sacrifice, at some point someone's going to say, why are you doing this? And then they hear us when we say, because you're valuable to God. And regardless of what you're going through, there is a way. I want to spend a moment this morning talking about filled with the Holy Spirit. Receive the Holy Spirit, he said. I am thoroughly convinced that if this isn't part of who we are, if we are not filled with the Holy Spirit, we will never be able to carry the towel and the cross, and we will never be able to find the way. We need to be filled with the Holy Spirit. In Acts chapter 1, on one occasion while he was eating with them, he gave them this command, do not leave Jerusalem, but wait for the gift my Father promised, which you have heard me speak about. For John baptized with water, but in a few days you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit. We're not talking about some kind of a subtle fog that comes in. Baptized with the Holy Spirit. Immersed in the Holy Spirit. The disciples still weren't figuring out what it was he was saying to them. Then they gathered around him and asked him, Lord, are you at this time going to restore the kingdom to Israel? He said to them, it's not for you to know the times or the dates the Father has set by his own authority. In other words, the Holy Spirit is like, yeah. But when are we going to fix what's wrong in the world? Right? Jesus said, you will receive power. That word power is a root word from which we get our word dynamite. You will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you. And you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. After he said this, he was taken up before their very eyes and a cloud hid them from their sight. But you will receive power. That's what's lacking in so much of what we try to be about. There have been times in my life when I wanted to serve, I wanted to sacrifice, but I lacked the power. Have you received the Holy Spirit? Have you asked the Father to baptize you in the Holy Spirit? In Acts chapter 19, while Apollos was at Corinth, Paul took the road through the interior and arrived at Ephesus. There he found some disciples and asked them, "Did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believed?" They answered, "No, we've not even heard that there is a Holy Spirit." And far too often we have this concept of the Trinity, but the Holy Spirit is just kind of this, we don't talk a lot about the Holy Spirit. But God wants to baptize us, to fill us, and refill us with the Holy Spirit. And it's a crucial component, because without that, we'll quit. Without that, we give up. Without that, we get our feelings hurt. Without that, our expectations and our resilience is not there. But when the Holy Spirit gets inside and fills us, everything changes. The fruit of the Spirit is love. What does it look like to be baptized or filled with the Holy Spirit? Well, here's the fruit of that. It's not some kind of emotional moment. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, forbearance, which is patience and resilience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness. We've devolved into a culture, into a Christian culture, where we fit God into our schedule instead of fitting our schedule around God. Faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. I quote this scripture often. It's my prayer for today. May God himself, the God of peace, sanctify you. The language there, one theologian writes, is the language of a pendulum. Sanctify you through and through and through. Oh, that God would fill us with his Holy Spirit in a way that would enable us to come out from among the world and be separate in our love and separate in our service and separate in our sacrifice, that we might be used of God. May your whole spirit, soul, and body be kept blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. The one who calls you is faithful, and he will do it. Faultless? No. Blameless. The Lord can purify our heart and cleanse us and enable us to follow Jesus. Have you received the Holy Spirit since you believed? And here's the thing. This is why it becomes important. My kids were on me a while back to watch this television program on the History Channel called Alone. And I don't know if you've seen it or not. I'm not going to spoil too much of it. I may spoil just a little. But they take these 10 survivalists. I mean, these people are accomplished, right? And they tell these 10 folks, here's the thing. We're going to allow you to choose 10 items. You can take 10 items with you. And then we're going to drop you off somewhere in the Northwest Territory. It's north of Chicago. That's all I know. It's a long way north of Wisconsin, right? And we're going to drop you off there. You got your 10 items. And if you can last 100 days, we'll give you $1 million. 100 days, $1 million. And these folks, I mean, these aren't folks who just Googled it, right? These are folks who've been survivalists, and they've done all kinds. Here's the 10 that went on the trip. One of them, I won't tell you which one, early on, by theirself out there in the middle of nowhere, makes a discovery that could have changed everything. He discovered a half boat, the remnants of a metal boat in the middle of nowhere. And of course, that meant a lot of things. It meant you could build it to use as cover. There's just a lot of things that you could use. What this person did was fill it with water and take a bath, build a fire under it and create a hot tub, which I thought was a good idea, right? Unexpected. 4 days in, right? Just 4 days in, all the training in the world, the 10 necessities that he has, and the way that each of them carried this, each of them had one of these things called a fire stick. And it was their ability to create a fire, right? And wood is wet, you can't rub sticks together, it's cold, and fire is critically important. Fire is how you're going to prepare any kind of food that you can find. Fire is what will keep everything from bears to wolves away, because you don't have a gun. Fire will provide warmth. Fire will let you get dry when you're wet. But in the middle of building his hot tub, he lost his fire stick 4 days in. And literally, within about 24 hours, he was done. Count me out. You can survive out here, he said, without a lot of things, but you can't survive without fire. When I think of the symbols of the Holy Spirit, the tongues of fire is so important. To try to live the Christian life, to try to be sent, is an incredibly difficult thing without something other than our will. We need something, and the promise was that the Holy Spirit would take up residence in us and provide the comfort that we needed, and the conviction that we needed, and the cleansing that we needed, and the direction that we needed, all of that having been received in us. Otherwise, these messages can become shallow. These messages will soon fade. Matter of fact, we'll forget them. You say, Pastor Brian, this is radical stuff. I don't know, maybe. Francis Chan, a few years ago, told a story about calling people to be baptized, filled with the Holy Spirit, and then on mission, living on mission, not fitting your faith in around where it works, but that being a lifestyle. He said a man walked up to him after the service, and he was a friend of his. He said he'd been with me a long time. He said, Pastor, I kind of appreciate your message. That's always a good thing to hear. I kind of appreciate your message. You're calling people to be radical. And I just want you to know, not everybody's going to be that way. He said, so there are some folks who are that way, and there are some folks who just reject God and go the other way. But in between those two, there's this middle road that you can travel. And we're never going to be as committed as what you're calling us to, but we're also following. And Francis Chan said, did you guys know about this middle road? I mean, Jesus talks about two roads, a wide road that leads to destruction. And many find that. And Jesus talks about a narrow road that leads to life. But now there's a new middle road. A middle road. Francis said, it no longer is do what Jesus says. It no longer is issues of obedience. That's not a word you use on the middle road. He said, my daughter knows better when I tell her to go clean her room, to come back a couple hours later and go, hey, Dad, I just want you to know, I heard what you said about cleaning my room. I've been thinking about it. A little later, I'm going to have some friends come over. We're going to talk about it, about what that would mean. We may even write a song about it and sing a song about it. Now, you cleaned the room, right? Folks, this is where we are right now. This is what God has called us to do. Now, I want to give you an example of what God can do through you, every single one of us, if we will receive the Holy Spirit and be sent. It's from Acts chapter 16. Once, when we were going to the place of prayer, we were met by a female slave who had a spirit by which she predicted. This is Paul and Silas, by the way. She predicted the future. She earned a great deal of money for her owners by fortune telling, which is still a thing, right? People will talk to angels for you. They'll talk to all kinds of people. None of it is biblical or right, but there's always that out there. And people, when they get desperate, will turn to stuff that they should never, matter of fact, we should reject. She followed Paul and the rest of us, shouting, these men are servants of the Most High God who are telling you the way to be saved. I mean, she's right about that. She kept this up for many days. Finally, Paul became so annoyed that he turned around and said to the spirit in her, in the name of Jesus Christ, I command you to come out of her. At that moment, the spirit left her. When her owners realized that their hope of making money was gone, they seized Paul and Silas and dragged them into the marketplace to face the authorities. Interesting. Not into the temple, but into the marketplace. They brought them before the magistrates and said, these men are Jews and are throwing our city into an uproar by advocating customs unlawful for us Romans to accept or practice. The crowd joined in the attack against Paul and Silas, and the magistrates ordered them to be stripped and beaten with rods. After they had been severely flogged, they were thrown into prison. The jailer was commanded to guard them carefully. Oh, be sent, they said. It'll be exciting to follow Jesus, they said. You can make a difference in the world, and yet here they are. There will be moments if you decide that you're going to be sent, if you decide that you want God to use you to help reach and make a difference in the world, there will be moments when it did not go the way you thought it was going to go. Moments when you're down. Moments when it feels like you're defeated, like you're not helping anybody. And it's in those moments, I believe, that the difference between quitting, that's why so much of the time it's up and down and in and out with regard to our faith commitment. But when the Holy Spirit takes up residence, it doesn't make you perfect, doesn't mean you can't fall, but the Holy Spirit works in every situation. When the jailer received these orders, he put them in the inner cell and fastened their feet in the stocks. About midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God, and the other prisoners were listening to them. And suddenly, you have two men who haven't been taken. You have two men who recognize they've been sent. Into that moment, what could happen if we could begin to look at the issues of our life and recognize that these aren't bad things coming at us? This is God sending us at them to be the difference in that moment. I had a friend who got cancer in his early 30s and eventually was healed, and it was a beautiful thing, but the treatment for him was excruciating. It lasted more than a year, and there was all kinds there was one particularly painful treatment, had to do with bone marrow and all kinds, and it was brutal. And he told me about halfway through it, he said, you know, after I got the first two treatments, I told my wife, I can't go back. I can't do this. Whatever it means, I just can't, because it was so incredibly hard. And then he said, the Lord talked to me. And the Lord said, what if I need you to deliver a message to that unit when you go down there? What if I need you to say something to a doctor or to a nurse or to another patient? If I need, and you have to do it, other people can't do it. I need you to do it because you know, because you're speaking, would you be willing to deliver that message for me? And he said, you know, Brian, it's still hard, it still hurts, but every time I go, I have this sense that God wants me. I had a doctor at one point in time just start telling me that he was hurting, and then he went, wait a minute, what am I doing? I'm the doctor, this isn't professional. But I was able to encourage. The challenge here is to see ourselves as sent. And the prisoners were listening to them. Suddenly, there was such a violent earthquake that the foundations of the prison were shaken. At once, all the prison doors flew open and everyone's chains came loose. Everyone's, right? The jailer woke up, and when he saw the prison doors open, he drew his sword and was about to kill himself because he thought the prisoners had escaped. But Paul shouted, don't harm yourself. You're valuable. You're valuable to us. We're all here. Not only just Paul and Silas, but the other prisoners too. That's the power of someone being sent. Just individual choices in a moment, filled with the Holy Spirit. You may not think you're capable of it, but you are. I promise you, you have what you need. The jailer called for lights, rushed in, and fell trembling before Paul and Silas. He then brought them out and asked, sirs, what must I do to be saved? And they replied, there is a way. You matter to God. Believe in the Lord Jesus, and you will be saved, you and your whole household. Then they spoke the word of the Lord to him and to all the others in his house. At that hour of the night, the jailer took them and washed their wounds. Then immediately he and all his household were baptized. The jailer brought them into his house and set a meal before them. He was filled with joy because he had come to believe in God, he and his old household. What's interesting is, of course, the next morning, they were going to release Paul and Silas. And Paul's like, I've been sent. I'm a Roman citizen. You can't just dismiss me after everything that you've done. I want to talk to Caesar. I want to go to Rome. Sent. As the Father has sent me, receive the Holy Spirit. And even in moments when you're down, you'll make a bigger difference than you can ever imagine. The call to being sent and to being filled with the Holy Spirit is not just something that we should do. It's where we will find our best life. It's where freedom comes from. A couple things happened in the last few weeks. I'm going to ask a band to come out in the last few weeks that have never happened to me before in ministry. And I've seen a lot of stuff. Two things happen. One, I was in my office on a Saturday morning preparing and you know, finishing up, and I see this face appear at my door, and no one's here on Saturday usually in the office. And so I look up, and it was this young man, a teenager. He had started attending here a while back with his family, and we quickly noticed that when his family couldn't make it, he still came. Just a nice young man. He said, "Pastor Brian, excuse me, I didn't mean to interrupt you." I said, "No, it's okay. What's going on?" And he said, "So I don't know if I'm going to be here tomorrow, and I brought my offering. I was just wondering if I could drop it off." So we went to the safe, and he dropped it in. I thought, wow. A few weeks ago, we were notified. There was a young lady who made a request of the pastoral staff, specifically Pastor Bob, teenager. She got this new job at a coffee place that she really liked, but she was having to work Sunday mornings, and she didn't want to work Sunday mornings. She wanted to be in church. So she came and asked her employer, said, "Hey, can," and the employer said, "Man, I don't think there's anything I can do about that. We love you. We want to keep you. You're a great employee, but if you write a letter, I'll send it up the chain." So she asked us to write a letter for her so she could come to church on Sunday morning. And we did. and they let her. Partially because of the sensitivity in the marketplace to all kinds of stuff now. Folks, this is our chance at our very best life. And we can see incredible things happen. I'm going to pray in a moment and give you a moment of reflection. Then I'll come back and we'll take the sacraments together. I wonder if today at the table, if maybe the conversation with God has to do with the Holy Spirit. You may feel like you've lost out. You may feel like, no, it's not that way. Allow the Holy Spirit to fill you fresh and new. Ask Him to fill you. If things come up that stand between you and God, confess them. But my prayer for this communion time is that we as a people would get a fresh filling of the Holy Spirit. I'm going to pray. They're going to sing, and then I'll come back and we'll take the sacrament together. Lord Jesus, thank you for this moment. There is so much going on that we need the clarity of your Spirit. We need the empowerment of your Spirit. We need the wisdom of your Spirit. We need the courage that comes with your Spirit. So, Father, would you fill fresh and new? And where there is sin, Lord, we confess and we ask that you would forgive us. And we repent and ask that you would help us to change direction. Where there are followers here today who are feeling overwhelmed and beat up, I pray that they would receive, even in these moments, a fresh infilling of your Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name.
Hey, thanks again for joining us for the First NAS podcast. If you're interested in your next step in growing your relationship with God, I would encourage you to text the word First NAS to 474747. That's all one word, First NAS, to the number 474747. There you can let us know if you've made a decision for Jesus or you can find practical resources to help you grow closer to Jesus. We'd also invite you to subscribe to the podcast to make sure you always have the latest content. And always feel free to share this with a friend who might need to hear it. Thanks again for joining us. Have a great day.